Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius again. We are going through the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4 is where we are at now. And I pray that the Lord will open your understanding so that you can comprehend all that we have been teaching. Apostle Paul was revealing to us the mystery of Christ. Now in chapter 4, he's now going to be teaching us how we should live to come to please God. After revealing this mystery to us, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, as chapter 4 verse 1, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now we are called to be saints of God. Think of that. Holy people is what saints mean. So you are to walk worthy of that call. You are called to be what? Holy people. So as a believer that have given your life to Christ, you have been born again, shake yourself. Make sure that you are walking as holy person. And that to shake yourself daily. And just shake yourself with the Bible. What does the Bible say? A holy person should do and do that. And what does the Bible say? A holy person should not do and don't do the bad thing. Now, holy person should love one another, should care for other people, should be kind and gentle. That is what you should be, see, the fruit of righteousness. And the holy person should not be found in sin or in morality or in partaking in all those embezzlement, love of money. Holy person should let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let, don't fight for things that is not worth it. That's what the Bible says. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We are called to be saints. Say, with all lowliness. I mean, we walk lowly. No matter how high you are the president or you are the senator, but you walk lowliness. That means you have nobody. Because that is the type of people God walk with. The Bible says, God said, I am the high and lofty God that inhabited eternity. But I dwell with the lowly and contrite in heart. So God is looking for those who are lowly. No matter how position you are in the world, no matter how rich and wealthy you are, if you walk lowly, not putting all those gold chains on your neck so that people can see you, that you are rich and wealthy. No, walk lowly. God says you walk with the lowly hearted and the contrite spirit, humble people. That's whom God wants. So that's why he said we are to walk with all lowliness. Lowliness and meekness with long suffering. That is walk, but those are all the attributes of God. Long suffering, not the one that is ready to fight. No, long suffering, forbearing one another in love, especially in your household, between husband and wife, between children and parents, between brethren and brethren, between children. He said, forbear one another. Oh, you hurt me, you step on my toes, forbear. Smile at it and say, oh, I forgive you. That's what he's saying. He said we are to walk in that type of lifestyle, forbearing one another in love. If you love the person, you step on your toe, you just smile and say, oh, sorry. You'll be saying, oh, so you'll be saying sorry. If you are the one that step on somebody, so you'll be quick to say, I'm sorry, forgive me. That is humbleness. He said we are to walk like that as saints of God. But still he said, endeavoring means trying to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. That is trying to keep unity, not fighting. You see, the world is getting to a place where they are fighting one another. Division is all that you see in many countries. Hausas against Yorubas, Igbos want to separate. Everybody want to. Everyone. This is a division. God loves unity. In fact, he said it is in unity God command blessing, life forevermore. And that's how Apostle Paul says, as believers, we should keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. We should be looking for peace one with another. And be peacemakers. Christ said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And devoted to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Now he said, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So God is in us, we that are born again. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now the grace he's talking about is the gift that will make us to be able to perform for Christ. It's a grace according to the measure. That is, God gave every person different sizes, what you call measure, different sizes. The same way when he gives the Holy Ghost, that's why some people are giving some grace to be prophets among the church. Some are given the grace to be evangelists. Some are given the grace to be a good teacher. You can teach the word of God. And some are just to help. But there are different gifts or talents. You have to use it for Christ. Use it for the body of Christ. To build the body of Christ. That's really what he's going to go into right now in this chapter. That's why he said everyone is of us giving this grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. A measure means maybe he gave you one cup. This man gave him 1.5 cup. This one he gave him 3 cups full. Why? Because he's going to use him more. Holy Spirit is like that. It's like oil that he gave to us that make us to do more. And that is what he's saying when he say, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8 went further. He said, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, when Christ ascended, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's the gifts I'm explaining right now. Verse 9 said, now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. So Christ went, the Bible says he went to hell when he died on 3 days. 3 days, he went to hell to preach to the souls that are in prison. And many of them will have been saved and brought out of hell to paradise before he resurrected. And that's what Apostle Paul is alluding to here in verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So he now filled all things. When he resurrected, he went up far above all heavens. Verse 11. And he gave some, that some of the believers now, he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So this is what God Christ has put in the midst of the church, his body, his the believers. He put all this for the purpose of working for him, building the body of Christ, calling other people into the kingdom to come and be saved. And when they are saved, they are now part of the member or the family of God. They still need to grow. Just like you have a newborn baby, you have to be fed to grow. And they have to be fed with the word of God as believers to grow, to know him more. Because what did the Bible say? He said we are to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So you don't know everything about him just the day you are born again. You have to keep learning. That's why you have teachers in the body of Christ, and evangelists and pastors and teachers. You have to keep learning until you become full, mature, grown. That's what Apostle Paul is going to express in these verses that I'm reading here. He said, he gave all these ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. Now, every one of us is a saint. When you are born again, you are a saint of God, but you are not perfect yet. But Apostle Paul said, the teaching, the preaching, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, they are to perfect the saints. That's the first responsibility, the first goal. And then he said, for the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? To bring many more people is the work of the ministry. Because you go for the evangelist, you go for to tell people about Christ. People come in to Christ and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the work of the ministry, to bring more people in. Because the house has to be full before the end. And then he said, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What is the edifying of the body of Christ? Now that they are already in, those that are brought into the kingdom of God, they need to be built up. Edify, encourage them. That's edifying them. Encourage them so that they can continue to work the works of righteousness until we are perfected. So the perfecting has to do with knowledge also. Because when we know, we'll be able to do things right. Verse 13. See, all this building up of the church, of the body of Christ, not the building, not church building. I'm talking of individual building up our character, building up us in knowledge, enough in faith, in understanding of the word of God. That building edifying is for a purpose, to make the body become perfect. Verse 13 said, till we all come in the unity. So he's explaining that all believers will come to this unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God. So that's the purpose. It's like there is a goal for us. When you have children that you are sending to school, what is the purpose of sending them to school? Not just to get out of the house, but for them to grow until they all either become doctors or become engineers. They all go to college. That's your purpose. You become somebody. That's the purpose of a parent sending children to school. They start from a primary school. ABC is what they are learning. But what is the purpose of just learning all this ABC, the RBDA? No. They are to continue to grow until they can go to college and become somebody. That will be productive, engineer, doctors. This and that, whatever they are going to become in the world and contribute to the society, contribute to the goodness of the world. That is the goal. Now, the same way Christ is perfecting his saints, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, as the knowledge of Christ, unto a perfect man. When do we become a perfect man? Just look at Christ. That's the measure of a perfect man. That could control the waves of the lake when the ocean was raging. He just stood up and said, "Peace, be still." That's a perfect man. Because that is what God created man to do on earth. Have dominion over all the things on the earth. But human beings have not been able to have that dominion. They are trying it through technology. It's not by technology, it's by authority of God's word in the spirit. And that's what Christ came and demonstrated. That's why he said, till we become a perfect man, the knowledge of the Son of God. How is the Son of God demonstrated? Jesus Christ demonstrated what a Son of God should be like. That is what he meant. But he said, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. See, a perfect man, when Jesus Christ was walking with his disciples, he came to a city. He said the city name. As he was coming to that city, they were carrying a dead body of a boy who was the son of a widow to the grave. And there was a procession of mourners crying, and they saw the woman was visible. And Jesus Christ stopped the procession, comforted the woman, and called the boy back to life. That is a perfect man. That is what God intended one human beings to be. And Christ demonstrated it, and he wants us to come to that stage, to that level of perfection, of a son of God that can control. Because he said we are going to inherit heaven and earth. If we are going to inherit all these universes, we must be perfect to be able to control all these they call it sun flares or things that are happening on those planets by commanding him in the spirit and putting them in proper position. That's what Jesus Christ demonstrated when he was on the sea. The sea raging, waving, and wanting to torpedo that boat. Whether through some satanic spirits or just the winds, he commanded the peace be still, and the wind kept quiet. That is the perfect man that he demonstrated. And Christ said he's putting all this ministry in the body of Christ so that we also will be taught to know Christ to the point that we also become perfect man by his knowledge. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, we are to become like Christ is. That's our goal, to become like Christ is our goal. That's why he's putting all these ministries in the body of Christ to teach us. And that's why we are teaching it on the radio, because it's not going to be in your local church. We go on the radio to teach it also, so that those who are believers can learn it without even being in your local church. You don't need to get to your local church. Say, I heard about this evangelist, this preacher, he can come and teach us in this church. How many days is he going to teach you? How long will he go to stay? That's why we are on radio, so that we can teach this thing, so anybody that can learn it from radio. We also have it on book form. We also have it on the internet right now. You can read it more. If you want to know, you will know. You will learn. By people perish for lack of knowledge. Seek to know. That is why it's on the radio. It's on television. It's on book form. It's on the internet. If you want to know, just search for it and read. Study to show yourself approved unto God. It's what the Bible said. Study. Learn. Take time to listen. Take time to turn to this radio broadcast where we are doing a daily teaching to help you, to help the body of Christ. And that is what God meant when he said he put these ministries in the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints. This is to perfect us individually of all that are listening, and for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, the work of the ministry is that if you are listening, you are not even a believer, but you just enjoy this man's teaching. Give your life to Christ, and that's when you become part of it. Then the teaching will help you to grow. The teaching that we are teaching on radio will help you to grow. But if you have to first give your life to Christ, let him come and live inside you to take the old nature of sin out of you and give you a new nature. The born-again experience. The power of the Holy Ghost. As many as received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. So you need that first, and then you go for water baptism. Then you are now part of the kingdom. Then begin to learn from what we are teaching and put it in practice. What you learn, put it in practice. And read more, and the Lord will reveal more to you. And as you practice it, you will see that you get better and better until you become perfect. And the stature of the fullness of Christ is our goal, when we become like Christ. When we become like Christ, it's not just in demonstrating power, it's in holiness, in love, gentleness, all the attributes of God, long-suffering. That's what we are talking about. We have to first get to that attributes of God before the power will be demonstrated through us. See, many people want to show these signs and wonders that Jesus Christ demonstrated. Without getting to become Son of God, you cannot be showing the powers of God. It is what God wants you to be, is to become His Son. The power is automatic, because when you become a son like Christ, Jesus Christ, when we become like Christ, we are just at that stature of Christ, the power automatically is in us to flow through, because then God is inside us. It is God working in us, making this thing happen. That's what Jesus Christ said. He said, the work that I do, it is the Father that is in me that doeth the works. But many people want to do the works without the Father. They want the signs and wonders. They want to command the water to stand still. They want to call the dead back to life. But the Father is not in them. See, it is the Father that is in me that doeth the works. So how will the Father be in us? You come and become a son of God. That's what Christ said. He gave us power to become sons of God. So that means we have to come to that stature of Christ and sons of God. Then the power is automatically in us to just do the wonders. That is the goal that God has called us as believers to come and be. And when we become like Christ, it's not just, you say, there will be too many Christs on earth. No, we are not going to be on this side alone. We'll be all over the universe. There are many planets that is good. That's why we are inheriting all things that God created. See, God in us, God and Christ living inside us, God in Christ, Christ inside us, we'll be sons of God everywhere in the universes. Some people will be controlling this galaxy, some will be controlling that planet, some will be controlling our universes. Some the scientists have made us to see that the world is, this universe is full, not this planet out. This is just one speck. The universe is full of galaxies. And each galaxy is with stars. And this is our sun that we see in the sky is a star. And just look in the sky, you see millions of those stars. One of them is just our sun, because it's closer to that's why it's big. But all these other stars, you see, they are just as big, some of them bigger than the sun. You see, but they are far away. And God has created all these things here. And according to the scientists, they don't know whether all those planets that are surrounding those stars are empty. And if they are empty, who is going to occupy them? God has a plan for us, man. God has a plan for us, young woman. Think about it. He's calling you to come and inherit all things that He created. So that's why we are inviting you to surrender to Christ and let this be paramount in yourself, that this world we have maximum of 100 years, 120 years, is small in spec compared to eternity that we are getting into. Eternity is what He's calling you into. But we have to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ right here on earth, so that we can enjoy that eternity as sons of God. And that is what the plan of God is. Now He went for that. So that verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So don't let the devil lie in wait to deceive you. Don't buy the lies of the devil, where he say there is no God, or trying to deceive Eve and say, oh, you be as God. God doesn't want you to be like him. That's why he didn't want you to eat this thing. It was a lie of the devil. The plan of God was for us to be like him, like Son of God, Christ Jesus. But the devil came and tricked them, and they fought for it, and went and did what God said they should do. So we want to be like Christ, because that's the Son, the God-man. That's what he said, we should come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's the plan of God. Verse 15, Apostle Paul kept continuing, he said, we should be speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Christ, into Him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head, and we are to grow into Him, that is, grow up. You see, you are to grow up, we individually, to grow up into Christ, to become like Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what's he saying? Apostle Paul is saying, when we individually, we are members of the one single body, which is the body of Christ. Every person is a member of this body of Christ. We are at the end of the world, we are like at the feet. Christ came as the head, and all the apostles and the believers all through the ages up to now are the parts of the body, and we are the feet at the end of the world. And we believers at this end of the world are in the feet. We are the members of Christ. And he said we are supplying, we all of us are supplying some measure of supply. That's why he said verse 16, with every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Just like you see in the human body, the brain is supplying control, the eyes is supplying the sight that is making the body to know where it's going, the ears is supplying the hearing, that is making the body to hear what's going on in the neighborhood. Our skin is supplying everything that is feeling. Is it warm? Is it cold? Our skin everywhere is supplying it. And the feet is carrying the body to wherever the body wants to go. So every part of our body is supplying something to the whole body. So that's what is a narrating, like analogy in chapter, in verse 16 there, that the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part has its own measure to supply. It make increase of the body. That is, the whole body of Christ is increasing as we supply our own part unto the edifying of itself. That is, as you do your own part, you are helping to build the body, edify the body, encourage the body. Like I'm preaching on the radio, I'm encouraging somebody over there in Africa or over there in Europe where they are here in my region. I'm supplying my own part of the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what he's saying there. Every part, you have your own part to play. You say, well, you are not on radio. Well, whatever part you can play, as you live right for Christ, you are supplying your own part. Where you do kindness to somebody in your neighborhood, you are supplying your part because they see Christ's life in you, that this man is different. Why did he do that for us? He said, he's a Christian. Oh, that's how Christ taught him to be. Now you are supplying a glory to God. Jesus Christ said, let your light so shine before me, and they shall see your good works, and shall glorify your Father which is in heaven. So that is exactly what Christ meant when he said they are glorifying God when they see your good works, your light shining, your righteousness. You are helping somebody. Because, say, why are you helping them? Because I'm a Christian. Christ taught me to do like this. That is going to glorify Christ. That is what he's talking about when he said, we are supplying, every member is supplying his own part. You may say, I don't have any part to supply. Whatever you do over there in your corner, you're supplying it to glorify God. When they see your light shining, they say, God has changed this man indeed. God has changed this sinner indeed. Maybe they first know you to be an armed robber. Now you are saying, you know, I'm no more an armed robber. I'm helping people. I'm giving us help to those who are needing help. That is what they will say. God has changed this man indeed. Maybe you are formerly a policeman that just stop people around collecting money. They will let them go. But they see a change in you. You are no more lost in that morning. That is when you are beginning to show forth the glory of God. That they will see your good word. They will glorify your God. That God is changing life indeed. Look at this wicked man before now. He's become a saint. God is changing life indeed. Then they are glorifying you. That's how you are contributing your own part to the edifying of the body of Christ in love. Verse 17 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. But ye have not so learned Christ. So that's all those things that the ungodly world are doing. That's not what Christ just taught us. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, that old man of sinful nature, put it off like a garment. Just take it off of your day. Don't wear that kind of behavior anymore, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is, our mind should be renewed, because the money of those things, they come to the mind first, before the mind go and before the mind instructed the body to go and do all this bad stuff. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So he's now using analogy of cloth, that you put off the old cloth of sin, ungodliness, immorality that you used to do. Now that you have Christ in you, you are now putting on the new man, Christ Jesus, which is righteousness and holiness. Verse 25 says, wherefore, putting away lying. This is bringing now to our level to know when you say put off, what do you mean put off? All these behaviors, give an example. Put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. No more lies, just speak the truth with his neighbor. Well, they might beat you up if you tell them the truth. Tell the truth, let them beat you up, they are going to beat you up. But speak the truth in love. Because sometimes people will speak just to accuse the other person. But no, it's not for you to accuse them. It's just to show love. Speak the truth in love. For we are members one of another. That's in the body of Christ. We are members one of another. Now be ye angry and sin not. See, anger is coming from the flesh. See, but you can control your anger, your temper, by not sinning. When do you sin? When you speak harsh word, that's because of you're angry. That's becoming a sin, because your mouth can sin just by words that you speak. If you begin to curse the person, that's sin. That much more when you turn into a fight. Say, be ye angry, but sin not. That is, the anger is still coming from the flesh that is rousing up, but you have to control it. That's called temperament. When you don't sin, don't let your mouth sin, don't let your hand sin, don't be the one to start a fight. You want to control that anger. Control your temper, your spirit. Sometimes walk away. Walk away and go and cool down. And praise that, Lord, forgive me that thing when anger is still rousing up in you. Because that is exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants to rouse up anger so that you can start a fire and say, ha, ha, ha. I thought this man says he's a saint. Oh, saint people, holy people don't fight. So be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now he's giving us some methods to control these things. You have to be humble to do this. Because sometimes the anger is still raging inside. But it's getting to evening. Say, go humbly to settle the problem. You may be the one to say, I apologize, I'm sorry. And look like, oh, you are being foolish to do that. Why are you going to be so foolish? Why are you going to be like a doormat? Don't worry. You are being a doormat for Jesus. And that is very pleasing to the Lord when you humble yourself and be the one to be a peacemaker. Don't try to fight for your rights and say, no, he has to come and apologize. Oh, she has to come and apologize. No. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So you be the one to be the better Christian. That you take the initiative, the step to not allow the sun to go down on your wrath. Certainly before the end of the day, what it's talking about. Many the doctors have known right now, people that keep animosity and anger into their heart, they can get sick. That alone can make people sick. How much more if you keep it inside yourself till overnight, make you sick. So Apostle Paul is giving us wisdom here. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. That don't allow the devil, because the devil is the one that's trying to trick people into all those offenses. Let him that stole steal no more. If you are still a thief, steal no more. Or you are embezzling money from government, steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needed. So Apostle Paul is saying, don't be busybody. Don't be busybody. Be ready to give. If you have, you'll be able to give. But how you have, you don't work. Say, he wants you to work with your hands so that you can give to other people. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the ears. Corrupt communication, all those jesting, jest, or dirty jokes. Those are corrupt communication. Don't let it come out of your mouth. In fact, I would say, always try to say something, look for something good to say about the other person. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. For start saying, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When it comes to the word of man, Jesus Christ even says it strongly. He said, every idle word that a man speaks shall be his judge on that day. So you see, that's why no corrupt communication should come out of your mouth. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now I'm going to stop it right here, and we could start the next chapter from this exhortation of being kind and don't allow bitterness. I just pray that the Lord will give you understanding so that you can begin to put all this in practice in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pray for any of you that are having some troubles you are going through. Jesus Christ said, if we ask anything in His name, He will do it. So I'm going to pray for you. If you have sickness in your body right now, lay your hand upon the part of your body that is hurting. Father, I pray for all the people that are listening to me right now in the radio land. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I command the spirits of sickness and disease to come out of them and enter them no more in the name of Jesus Christ. I say so. All you spirits of sickness and disease that are causing pains or affliction or sickness of what kind, come out of these people that listen to me and enter them no more in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is it, friend. You are healed. Believe it. Say it with your mouth. Say, I am healed. Say, I receive my healing right now. Say it again. I receive my healing right now in Jesus' name. And begin to thank the Lord. Just lift up your hand and thank the Lord right now. Say, Father, I thank you for healing me. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for healing me. Say, thank you, Jesus Christ, for healing me. Say it again. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for healing me. By His stripes, we were healed. By the stripes of Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, you were healed. Amen.